Attention, pleasure seekers. What if I told you there was a toy that was so iconic that it practically set the standard for all my favorite products? Allow me to introduce or reintroduce to you the Magic Wand. Dubbed the Cadillac of Vibrators, the Magic Wand is more than just a toy. It's a culture icon, a symbol of power and unapologetic pleasure. I mean, do you know any other toys that have been praised in Time magazine? Didn't think so. With a unique rumble that resonates deep within, the Magic Wand Original is not just a product, it's a trusted confidant. And it's a sure thing. Never had an orgasm? Try a magic wand. Never given your party a full body massage? Try the magic wand. Listen, it's rightfully earned accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I've been so obsessed with my magic wand, I even drilled holes in my bedside table so that she's always next to me in case I need her. Well, that was years ago. Because now there are multiple iterations of the magic wand, allowing you to pick whatever model fits your lifestyle. You can go wireless with the magic wand rechargeable, tiny with the magic wand mini, or micro. Micro's really mini. Or go for variety with the Magic Wand Plush. The best part though, all of them have the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original so popular. So if you're ready to make some magic, visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to cast a spell on the world. Magic Wand, not just a vibrator, an icon of pleasure.
Secret institutions, bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. We've all felt the ache of jealousy creep into our lives. It happens to us from time to time, but where does it come from, and what the hell are you supposed to do with it? Now, jealousy is part of being a human being. It's normal. But today, I'm explaining how jealousy comes from inside you, not your partner, what you can learn from it. Like, what is your jealousy trying to tell you, and how to work through it so it doesn't corrode your relationships or your life. I also answer your questions about how to help your partner get out of their sexual shell, get them to open up sexually. We also talk about dating after divorce, how often you can have anal sex, and so much more. All right, intentions with Emily. For each episode, I want to start off by setting an intention. It really helps ground you in the episode so it sticks with you. So when you're listening, what do you want to get out of this episode? It could be, I want to figure out why I'm always so jealous of my partner's ex. My intention is to help you acknowledge and work through jealousy so you and your relationship can thrive. Enjoy the show. Let's talk about jealousy for a minute before we get into calls. A lot of you email me all the time about how jealousy is impacting your relationship. Either you are with a jealous partner, maybe they are trying to control who you spend time with or telling you to unfollow people on Instagram, or maybe you're the jealous one and, you know, you just don't trust in them at all and you're not sure how to stop being a jealous partner. Your partnership will suffer if you let jealousy go unchecked. But the first step is just being honest with yourself and then eventually your partner that you're jealous. We're going to get to the bottom of it. So then you can create a healthier relationship. So I'm going to give you a few steps to combat jealousy, just to kind of reframe the way you look at it. And also my producers are here, Colin and Ovi.
Hi.
If your partner has done something and the trust has been broken in your relationship, maybe they cheated on you, or maybe they lied about a financial situation, you're going to need a professional, a therapist, a counselor, to come in and help you rebuild the trust. Because trust can take years to build, and it just takes one infraction for it to fall apart. And no matter how much time passed or how often your partner says, I'm sorry, I've never seen it healing without the help of a therapist. So we're not talking about that today. We're talking about real jealousy, you know, that is sort of pervasive in your life, and you've seen it throughout several relationships, and you know you're a jealous person. So this is how I want you to look at it. Before we get into the steps so you can look at jealousy a little bit different, I want to read an email from Stacy, who identifies as a man and lives in Los Angeles. Dear Dr. Emily, I suffer from retrospective jealousy. Never at the beginning of a relationship, but after a time, I began ruminating about her previous lovers and whether they might have been better than me, whether she preferred her lovemaking with them. I think this is a good thing to want to be her best lover ever, but it is a bad thing to need to be her best lover. Bad for me, bad for her. To quench this at times searing jealousy, trying to block out thoughts of my girlfriend's having her best lovemaking in another man's arms, I set out to learn as much about sex as I could. I felt that with enough information about making love and technique and toys, I'd become anyone's best lover. And though I learned a great deal about intimacy and communication and courage and sex and female anatomy, giving oral sex, making women come, the jealousy never left. And my situation got worse if my lover had a lot of partners or even evidence of having a lot of really good sex. I make no guess about your history, Emily, but I would be intimidated by you and in time very jealous of the good sex in your past, which you allude to in your masterclass. If you were my girlfriend and I brought my jealous feelings out in the open to you, what might you say to me? Why do I need such validation? Take care and happy new year. All right. Thanks for your email, Stacey. I really appreciate it. And let's get into this for a minute. First off, he mentions the masterclass, and I do have a masterclass. If you maybe you've got a subscription for the holidays, you can find that at masterclass.com/Emily Morse, M-O-R-S-E. This is a side note, but if your partner asks you, how many people have you slept with? Remember, that is a leading question that usually leads to jealousy and heartache. I've never seen that handled well. Maybe you've slept with too many people or not enough. You are seen as, you know, having too much experience or not enough experience. And so what I'm saying is you can also turn to your partner and say, babe, all I'm thinking about right now is the incredible sex that we're having, and just shut it down. Okay. So let's get into my steps for turning your jealousy around. First step, just be honest about jealousy's impact and acknowledge it. Acknowledge the problem. Understand that jealousy is always about you rather than the other person. It just is. But just know, pretending you aren't jealous is a problem too. We can't solve any problems if we don't acknowledge it. It just makes us feel bad. And it's usually about our own shortcomings and things that we want to work on. So rather than look at jealousy like a problem you have to solve, think of it like a solution to your problem, because now you get to gain clarity and dig deeper into what the role jealousy is playing in your relationship, okay? If it becomes a problem, let's go to the next step. And this one you're going to like because it's all about cultivating self-confidence, because that's really what it's all about. I want you to make a list of the insecurities you have, all the things that are bothering you. Maybe you're jealous of your partner's ex, or they check someone out and that made you feel bad about your body, or you about how much money you make or the job you have. Write them all down. And listen, if you constantly compare yourself to celebrities or people on Instagram, unfollow them for a week. Give yourself space from feeling inferior. And then this will also help you develop the self-confidence. And think about it. Is it perfectionism? Are you repeating a negative story in your head? Do you fear abandonment? You know, not being loved? You know, it all is an inside job. Maybe there's unresolved issues from childhood. So some of the things you write down, you're going to write down all your jealousies. And I'm not doing this to make, I'm not telling you to do this to make you feel worse. I'm not saying write down all your insecurities. You should shame yourself. It's about you owning your role in your relationship. Then you write the antidote to each insecurity. Maybe if it's my partner wants another body, you can say my body is beautiful. You know, I feel like everyone else makes more money than I do. You could write, money comes freely and easy to me. You know, that's a really good affirmation to have too. You know, when you say things, you start to believe them. Another great step to do this. I love Byron Katie's work. And she has these brilliant four questions. She is actually a woman who healed her own depression using this process. And it's four questions. So the first one is it true? Is my thought true? So you've written down all your insecurities, then the counter to those, and then try this. Pick one of them. Let's use Stacy's as an example. Is it true that all of my partner's lovers were better than me? Stacy might say, yeah, it's true. She tells me it must, yeah. And then the second question though is it absolutely true? The court of law, it is 100% true that your partner's past lovers were better than you.
Well, then he'd have to look at that and say, well, okay, in a court of law, absolutely true. Like, no, we don't have any evidence of that. And then the third question, how do you feel when you believe that thought? Well, when I believe that everyone else is better lovers than me, I feel less than. I feel not lovable, which is also our greatest fear, not to be loved. I feel insecure. I feel like I can't do enough. Even though I've studied everything about sex, I'm still never going to be enough. Well, the fourth question, this is the beauty. This is the beauty of this process. It says, what if the opposite was true? What would be the opposite of your statement? Well, the opposite would be, I'm the best lover my partner has ever had. Huh. That could be true too, right? That is the opposite. We're allowed to believe whatever we want, and to believe that you might be the best lover they ever had feels so much more freeing. And then you realize the other one just keeps you in a negative spiraling jail in your mind where jealousy festers. But to do these exercises whenever you have a limiting thought about anything, I have these notes written in my phone, and it absolutely helps me when I find myself having a negative spiral or believing something that isn't true. I just do, is it true? Is it absolutely true? What do I believe when I think, how do I feel when I think that thought? And then what's the opposite of it? And it turns it around. And sometimes I write it out because it feels a lot better sometimes to write it out. So the final step is gratitude, because it's so easy to walk around feeling like everything's bad, everything's wrong, our attention's going towards negativity, what's wrong, what's wrong, what's wrong. But if you go, you know what, I'm in a healthy relationship right now. These are all the ways that I love my partner and that my partner shows love to me. You should write these out as well. And then you can read them in the morning, read them when you're meditating, read them when you wake up and say, these are the truth. Because you know that your mind could get twisted throughout the day. And also, if you're in a relationship where you're constantly just feel like all you could see is a negative in your partner, try for a week reframing it and just thinking, I'm just going to think of the positives. And I don't mean this all Pollyannish, everything's going to be think positive and life will happen. I just mean, if you're still with your partner, I'm sure there's some wonderful things that you could think about that would help you feel more connected and more love for your partner. And it would kind of stop those pesky, jealous thoughts. So when we're grateful for what we actually do have and repeat that and we think about it, it also helps with our self-confidence and helps us tackle jealousy, which can be a pattern in your relationships that just keep festering. Just so remember all the positive things that you bring to the relationship and all the things your partner says that they like about you, and try to remember that your partner is choosing to be with you. They're choosing you. And now you need to choose you in your best possible form, where you're thinking more neutral thoughts or positive thoughts. And remember, when we compare, we just despair. So when we compare to other people, other situations, it doesn't help us. I really hope this helped. You remember, the four steps are acknowledging that you're jealous. Ask what your jealousy is telling you. What do you need to learn from the jealousy? And then write down all the ways you feel insecure and jealous. The antidote to that, using Byron Katie's steps. And then this is going to help you cultivate more self-confidence. And eventually, we want you to be honest with your partner about it. So one more thing to answer Stacy's question. Stacy, you say, if you were my girlfriend and I brought my jealous feelings out and open to you, what might you say to me? You know what I would say to you? I would say, oh, thank you. That must not have been easy, admitting that you were jealous. And I know that took a lot of strength. So I just want to acknowledge that. And I want to say thank you. And I know you've been jealous and it hasn't been easy for us. You know, I'd love to see how we can work on it. And then, Stacy, you could go to your partner and say, well, I just learned these things on the Sex with Emily podcast, and I'm going to work through these steps so I can be a great lover to you, like you are to me. So would you like to be a part of it with me? Would you like to hang out with me while I'm doing it? I mean, listen, the partners that we love and want to be with are going to 100% support us on our spiritual journey to become better versions of ourselves. Because when we work on ourselves in a healthy way, it's only going to impact our partner for the better as well. So what do you guys think, Colin, Ovi?
The process you're talking about is so great because it does make it about you. Because my first gut reaction when I think of jealousy or when I have jealous feelings is that it's about the partner, my partner.
Right.
And it's not. It's 100% about me and how I'm feeling. And like zero about them or their past partners. I had this with Megan early on when we were dating. She would talk about her ex that she had just dated before me. And it would just bring up all these feelings. And then I realized it's totally not about that guy. It's right. completely about me.
Right. She married you. She's with you.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
were you able to talk to her about it?
We talked about it a little bit, but the best work I did about it was internal. It wasn't, it didn't have anything to do with how we interacted. It was just right. like how I thought about it and just reminding myself like, well, she's with me now.
Right.
So clearly.
Yeah. That's good. I mean, it's true, Colin. It's like most of the things when we're angry at someone or they did something wrong, it's not so binary. I mean, everything, it's not so black and white. We all have, you know, we're a part of it, they're a part of it. But, you know, most of the time it's our shit that we're bringing to the table that it's unexamined trauma or conditioning or, like, that's why I said at the top, it's like, yeah, if your partner cheated and did something like that, there's a trust problem. You got to mend that. But if there's just jealousy that is not based in any reality, it's not based in anything that actually happened, that's a condition that's been going on. And then it probably, once you start to really get into it and you've kind of like look at the jealousy, then you realize that it's probably infiltrating other parts of your life as well. There's probably other areas in your life where jealousy, it might look a little bit different. You know, it might look like anger. It might look like suspicion of other people, but it's typically jealousy. Oh, it's so deep. It runs so deep.
Yeah.
I love that.
When you were talking, Emily, before, I was just thinking about how jealousy is really natural. Like a lot of people do suffer from jealousy, but in the past, I would kind of be like, oh, I'm not jealous. I'm not a jealous person. But then I would do weird things that were really controlling to try to like circumvent being jealous.
So what would you do how did you circumvent the jealousy?
Like it was, I would just kind of use these weird external factors and be like,
right.
oh, because I would be jealous, like, oh, maybe they like other people more than me, or like they don't like spending time with me that much. And then I would kind of make it so like we're spending a lot of time together and more than anyone else. And I'd be like, oh, well, I can't be jealous because they obviously like me the best because we spend the most amount of time together.
Oh, right.
But it was very unhealthy and very controlling to try to like force this to happen so I didn't feel jealous, instead of ultimately just like facing the fact that jealousy is natural.
Right. Exactly. It's natural, but when it gets really destructive and harmful to behavior, you got to weed it out.
It's natural, but it's not like a good thing. It's
right.
just something that we're born with. So it's something we all need to
Yeah. We all experience it. We really do. I just think that as you start to do the work that we always talk about here on the show, the internal work, it doesn't take you down as much. It doesn't like knock you out for a day. It doesn't make you don't get in fights about it. You're like, oh, okay, I'm being jealous. I heard something really smart about jealousy like years ago, and it really just stuck with me. It's like when you're jealous of someone else, it's essentially saying that you want to be like them. You want to be them. But the truth is you're never going to be as good at being them as they are. Like they have their own gifts, they're their own person, but you'll never be as good at being them as they are, and you get to be yourself. How can you truly be like, I am this unique person, that these are all of my skill sets and all the things I bring to the table?
The other thing this reminds me of is kind of like Byron Katie's question, is just like flipping it on its head. If I'm jealous of my partner's past lovers, do I want to take away my past lovers too? Like flip that.
Right. No one ever does that. You're right.
Do I want to have not dated all the people I dated?
Right.
And learned all the things I learned from them? Because I am actually really grateful for all those failed relationships that I had that led to this current one.
Exactly. Going back to the case of you and Stacy, it's like our past lovers and our past relationships make us who we are. And we broke up with people. We're not with people for a reason, you know, to get to this point of being with you in a relationship. It's like, they're all like our
trial runs.
But if you think about what the suffering is, it's like, I'm just trying to think about that. Like when you're constantly thinking like, because it sounds like Stacy's a great lover, right? For example, but our fear or in hearing how many people our partner slept with, is it that now they have all those people to compare me to and I am not a good lover. Like, I think we all feel so inadequate, I suppose. But even Stacy, who's done more studying about people's bodies than I know of, men who like took it on, still felt insecure. It was almost like fueling it because he was looking to externally fill himself with information, arm himself with enough knowledge, but wasn't doing the internal work.
It's true though, Emily, while you were saying that, like the external validation, I've searched for that too and been like, oh, it's the same that like, it's the common, like, oh, once you get the car, once you get the house, the kids and the flashy jewelry or whatever, like you're going to be happy. And then those goals just keep getting pushed back. And if you're not doing the internal work, you're really never going to be happy with what you're having.
Never.
So you kind of have to flip the mindset and be like, look at what I do have. I have the opportunity to be with this partner who has had all these past lovers and has all this past experience that they can teach me.
Yeah.
And I can't help but think that like whoever Stacey's with, their top priority isn't somebody who knows every single thing about having sex. It's probably ahead on that list is somebody who's worked through their personal shit.
Well, right. That and I bet you he's thinking that's why relationships aren't working or something, but you're absolutely right. That's the other thing that's wrong with sex. We think like you have to be just this one thing, right? I just have to have a big penis, right? I just have to be a great lover. I just have to be
I have to be
skinny.
Able to move my hips like this.
Yes, exactly. And that's it. No, we want it. You're right. And his lovers are probably like, yeah, he was the best oral sex I ever had, but I really would have loved if he could have been more in touch with himself and emotionally available in ways that I needed.
Mm.
That's the good news, is that there's always stuff to, that there's a lot of ways we can show up and be good partners to people. It's not about one thing.
Another way that we can kind of flip out jealousy is just thinking about like what you actually are jealous of. And then if it's something that you can kind of emulate within yourself, like, oh, I think that they're really successful. Maybe it can help you to change towards being more successful, but you don't need to do it with such a like hard arm, like they're better than I am because they have a job that makes more money than I do.
Right.
Mm. Emily, do you think there's room for jealousy in love? In like pure 100% love? Is there room for jealousy within that?
Well, it happens. It comes up, but I don't think it works. Like I think that jealousy is part of a toxic cycle that we see in a lot of unhealthy relationships, that at first it might feel good that your partner's jealous. And then you're like, oh, wow, they really, because then you feel safe, right? You're like, oh, this person really loves me. They're jealous. But over time, they're going to be jealous all the time. It's just going to exacerbate. And so I think that jealousy does not pair well with love. Every once in a while, like, oh, that's cute. You were jealous. You know, you hear those things like, I love that you still get jealous. And when you're in a long-term relationship, you're like, oh, but no, I don't think that like, I don't think that chronic jealousy is going to serve a loving relationship. What do you think?
Yeah. You know, it's funny when I wrote this question before we had this conversation, I was just thinking of like, I was thinking of jealousy as like an element of the relationship. And now hearing you talk about this, and now I'm just 100% thinking of it as a personal issue.
Yes.
So it's like totally changed my perspective on, but yeah,
oh,
I mean, I agree. I don't think there's room for it.
No.
Because love is so about giving yourself up to the other person and to the relationship. And jealousy is so much about focusing inward and giving space for your insecurities.
Exactly. I mean, jealousy is like a basic human emotion that we're all going to experience from time to time. I mean, just definitely don't beat yourself up about it, of course. But jealousy is here to tell you something about yourself, about ourselves. So I'm being really jealous. What do I need right now? Thank you, jealousy. You are here. You showed up. What do I need to work on in myself? It's always like that. It goes right back to you. I'm not saying that you're never going to be jealous again if you do the work. You will be jealous again, but now you'll have tools to combat it and go, oh gosh, that thing again? Oh my God, didn't we work on this? You know, and then you just kind of have a better relationship with your jealousy. And then it goes away. It doesn't like fuel your relationship. It doesn't take over everything you do. It doesn't drive your personality. All right, guys, so tell me what you think. What did this conversation make you think? Did it make you realize the areas of your life that you are jealous? Does it get you more jealous? I want to hear from you. I want to hear what you think. You can always email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. When we come back, I talk to Robert, who's wondering how often you can have anal sex. The
There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co.
Let's talk to Kate, 52, in Ohio. Hi, Kate. Thanks for calling. What's going on?
Hey, thanks for taking me.
Of course.
So what I've got is... me and my new partner, we were both in long-term marriages. I was married for, 30 years and the same for him. And we've been together for a little bit now, and the sex is really good. It is amazing. But one thing I'm dealing with is his ex-spouse was very vanilla, if you will. And she did not enjoy sex, did not want sex. And I am a very physical person. I'm a very sexual person. And I kind of sometimes worry that, cause he's kind of like, wow, you're kind of a, perv. And I just, some things I want to ask for with him, but I kind of feel like he's just still so reserved, or he's just, he's not used to more sexual adventure. And so I'm kind of in a quandary how to politely and gently, help him explore sexuality and understand that it's healthy. It's like breathing air. We can enjoy each other fully and have those fantasies and do those things. But I just think for so long he was used to being denied, and he was just used to being told that, it wasn't fun or enjoyable. Mm. And I just don't know how to kind of gently bring him to his sexuality.
I totally know exactly what you mean, Kate. This is so... it's so common that I hear from a lot of you that it's, your partners just aren't able to meet you where they're at. And a lot of times it's because he grew up in a place, first off, he's married for 30 years with a wife that doesn't want sex, not interested in sex. And he's thinking, I want so much sex. And so maybe that's also convenient for him, like in a way that wasn't conscious, right? She never wanted sex. She never wanted sex. But there was something about him that married her. Maybe he grew up in a home where it was very shameful. To talk about sex, it was frowned upon. It wasn't part of their culture, their society, their religious institution. And so what happens is when we grow up in an environment like that, we think it's just go, well, I'm going to be on my own, and that will no longer be, I'll no longer feel that way anymore. But now if he's in his 50s as well, his whole life he's had this, shame associated with it. What we have to do is educate. There has to be some education, right? What could he, and you know him better than I do, but are there ways that he learns best? Like, there's a lot of educational material out there. We've got tons of blogs on our website. Like, if he needs to understand the benefits of being sexually healthy, you can ask him some questions. Like, does he remember like earlier memories about sex? Because there is a certain unlearning that we have to do. Because there has to come a point where we think, okay, that is no longer my belief. That is something from childhood, my parents' belief, but it no longer serves me. But the problem, the older we get, it can be more challenging to do. it is a journey. You can get there with him. And you just remember that having a conversation about sex with your partner and developing the language around sex is not a one-time conversation. But once you can kind of, you know, however he learns, how you get him on board and talk to him about how you envision your sex life to be, what a rich, healthy fantasy life might look like for both of you, what the benefits could be, you know. And I think just, you know, listening to him, maybe he has to clear some stuff from his background. I mean, this could take a while, but it's your new partner. And I think when we are not sexually healthy and we're not able to communicate about sex, it does impact every area of our relationship. So thank you for your call. Let's talk to Robert, 56 in California. Hi, Robert. Thanks for calling.
Hello, Dr. Emily.
Hi.
My question is this. Me and my wife, we've been married for 25 years. We have a great sex life. But she's concerned if we have anal sex too often that it will damage her down there.
Typically not. How often are you having it? I mean, I don't hear this often. Is it like every day for hours?
No. About once every 2 months.
No, you're fine, Robert. You're totally fine. Just use lots of lube. Make sure that she's warmed up and you're going slow and she's breathing and turned on. You're good. Once every few months is no. No problems there.
Yeah, no, she's great. She has like orgasms within 30 seconds of anal sex. It's not like vaginal, but she's so worried about it that we only do it like once every couple of months.
Oh, and you're fine.
I didn't know.
I love your relationship.
How often? Okay?
I mean, how often do you want to? And I'll tell you if it's okay. Like, would you think you want to do it once a week? Twice a week?
Yeah.
Once a week is fine. You're good. Yeah. Make sure she's warmed up, turned on. You're not going to, you know, you're using lube and breathing. You should be fine. Once a week is totally, totally good. Totally fine. Oh, yeah. Great. I mean, there's not going to be any. Yeah. First off, Robert, I love your call because, like, I very rarely hear from someone who's been married for 25 years and says we're having amazing sex. So. Thank you for that.
Oh my God! We have such a great relationship. It's wonderful. So yeah.
Wow.
And
okay.
I listened to your show the other night about touching,
mm-hmm.
and any guy listening has got to take your advice. I give my wife massages all the time, without requiring or demanding, expecting sex after, and it pays back dividends in spades if you just touch your wife, massage her, and love her without the sex, and it comes back to you. It really does.
You're right. Yeah, Robert. I'm so glad that resonated with you, because it's true. We're talking about when you, sometimes sex becomes a problem, and then you think every time they touch me, they want sex. But you're right, just to give a massage. I love it, Robert. So can I ask you a question now? I'm going to ask you about your sex life.
Yeah.
How do you guys think, how have you kept your sex life so great for 25 years?
I'm a very... huggy, touchy, we hold hands a lot, we hug a lot, we kiss a lot, just randomly holding hands. We'll walk in the store holding hands, we'll hug a lot, we'll kiss a lot, and my boys have both moved out, and we are real flirty with each other. I mean, we're in the house by ourselves, and she'll walk by me and just grab me down there and just laugh, you know, and we both do that, and it's fun. We're like little kids now. I don't know. It's weird. I feel like I'm still on my honeymoon.
Robert. Oh, Robert. That's thank you. That's really, really inspiring. And I guess it's always been good. I mean, you've always had.
Well, you know, we've been married 25 years. Nothing, you know, perfect for 25
True.
Years.
True. Yeah.
Problems,
I was going to put you on a pedestal. Of course you do.
The one bright light in our relationship has been our sex. That's never been the issue.
Robert, super inspiring. Well, thank you for calling. And yeah, use some lube. We love the Pure Anal Ease Lube. It's specifically for anal. Use it. I love it. It's silicone. Just use a silicone lube.
Yeah,
do. Okay, awesome. Well, enjoy, Robert. Sounds like you don't need me to tell you that, but have a good time. Thanks for calling. Bye, Robert. Super inspiring.
Bye.
Of course. Let's talk to Sarah, 19, in Utah. Hi, Sarah. What's going on?
Hi. So I'm with a new partner, and we're exploring, like, because with my last one, we never had sex. I don't know. It was just awful. But with this new guy, we're exploring, like, kinks and stuff like that. And we recently just started, like, I guess, like, people call it a cream pie, or, like, that's such a weird way to describe it. But, like, when the man comes in you, Mm-hmm. And that's something I really enjoy, and I didn't know I would enjoy. And I am on birth control, the next put on, but I was wondering if there's any safer, like another thing I could add to be even safer and also enjoy this kink, because I don't want to get pregnant, but I also can't get my tubes tied this young just because of what I've looked up.
First, let's describe the cream pie fetish, which is the kink where you you both get off on him coming inside of you. Well, how are you guys practicing it? Because you are on the pill. So, I mean, you're on the implant, right?
Mm-hmm, the implant.
So, I mean, that is really
so just
safe.
No condom, no anything like that.
Right. Is this a mutually satisfying fetish? Because for some people, because you're calling it the cream pie, like, you know, for people it is a fetish. So it could also be on other parts of your body sometimes. Right? Like if he ejaculated other parts of your body, could that also help?
We definitely do that as well, for sure. Okay. And yes, we both enjoy it. It's not something I'd...
Perfect. But I always want to check, you know? Yeah. Well, you know, I have to tell you also, there's only a few days a month, I'd say about five, where women can actually get pregnant. But you could download like a period tracking app, like the Flow Living app.
Okay.
And that can help you understand the days where you actually could get pregnant. But if you're also on the implant, you're pretty safe, but you could still track it. Mm-hmm. So,
I would do that. You recommend?
Yes, I do recommend it. It's called Flow Living app, FLO. And I just think it's great for women to start to understand their cycles. You could also use a spermicide. That might also help. So you just feel a little bit safer. Okay. And then also just understanding those days of the month where you can get pregnant.
Yeah, I definitely don't know too much about my cycle.
Yeah, I just think it's great for every woman to understand, because I know a lot of women call me and they're like, I'm on the pill and I'm using condoms. Can I get pregnant? I mean, it's very unlikely. You know, I never want to say that you can.
Yeah.
That it's unlikely, because then people get careless. So,
yeah, I got it. Thank you so much for the advice.
Of course, Sarah. I'm here for you. Of course. Let me know how it goes. Call me with anything, okay?
All right.
Have a great night. Thanks for calling. We're going to answer a quick question. Nora 31 in Santa Barbara. My girlfriend recently showed me one of your masterclass lessons, the Take Control of Your Orgasm one, I believe. It's absolutely incredible. I'm going to start listening to your podcast and telling all my friends about you who don't already know of you. I have a random question that's not quite sex related. It's that masterclass lesson you bring out what can only be described as a beautiful velvet vulva pillow with carnations inside. May I ask, where did you get such a beautiful item? My girlfriend was obsessed with it, and if it's something I can track down, I would love to buy one for as a gift. It is a vulva puppet, and I'm going to find it for you because I have two vulva puppets. One is locked at SiriusXM in the studios. We can't go there anymore. We had lockers there, right? So that's where my one vulva puppet is. It's just been there, and I can't wait to go back to it. So I got another one for Masterclass, and there's just one woman who makes these vulva puppets, and she's been making them for 30 years. She lives in Berkeley, California. She's been making them since 92. Her name's Dory Lane, and it's called vulvapuppet.com. And you can pick size and shapes and colors and fabrics. The vulva puppet is the way to go. And why I love it is because anatomy, like a lot of us don't understand what's going on between our legs, right? So it's like a beautiful puppet. I use it to teach people for education. And she's a wonderful woman. This woman is making these vulva puppets. She does not make penis puppets. I tried really hard to find a penis puppet. I scoured the internet. There was like a knitted penis and there was like a beanbag penis, but there was no penis puppets. So if you know about a penis puppet, I would buy it from you. I would pay anything for your penis puppet. But Dory's like, I'm not getting into penises. Like, I've been in the vulva business for 30 years and that's all I want to do. And yeah, I also, if you guys, I did a masterclass. If you know Masterclass, it's a really cool platform, masterclass.com/Emily Morse. And they have amazing courses with a lot of other cool instructors. Check that out. We're going to take a quick break, but stick around. I'm answering an email from Natalie, who's looking to start dating again after a divorce. This is from Natalie, 31 in Texas. A lot of you ask these questions of how do I get back out there and date again if I've been with a partner for a while, or maybe the dating game has changed. Maybe you learned a lot about yourself in your relationship and you realize that you have standards and you have things that are important to you and you want to know how to communicate that. So Natalie, 31 in Texas, love your show. I've been sharing with my friends because I find your episodes on the podcast great and full of relatable information. I want to ask you for advice. I've always been a very sexual person, develop fantasies in my head about someone I'm either interested in or someone I'm seeing. I'm in the process of a divorce. Our sex life was mediocre. There was really no emotional connection, which is why I wanted out. I should have accepted this sooner, but here I am. He'd also withhold sex and intimacy from me as a control factor. He didn't have a sex drive at all. I'm the type of person who needs physical touch, cuddling, or sexual play, and I find myself thinking about sex and passionate intimacy all the time. I have a very high sex drive with simple needs. I've been like this my whole life. How can I sidetrack these thoughts when they arise all the time? Solo play isn't always working to satisfy that desire, and sometimes it's just temporary. Also, there's a new guy that entered my life and literally just met. I want to breach the sex topic and just run wild with him between the sheets, but I don't want to scare him. I think he's interested sexually. Physical attraction's key. Help. Any advice to keep this primal feeling tamed? I'm always in heat. I love a woman in heat. I love anyone in heat. Listen, if you always want sex all the time and you're single and dating, go through this, embrace this part of yourself. And to answer your question, you know, it sounds like, you know, first of all, I love that you have a high fantasy life and that you're thinking about these things. And I know what you're saying. You met a new guy and there's chemistry. So how do you tell him that you're into, that you want to, that you have these sexual fantasies? I don't know what you're looking for right now. If you just got divorced, I would suggest taking time to kind of figure out who you are and what you want sexually. It sounds like you have some fantasies. So I think when you know that he's somebody you can trust, or you want to just, maybe you don't even care about the emotional connection right now. I don't know why you think you would scare him off. But I think if that is a concern you have, I would just, once it starts to get intimate, it sounds like you know you're both attracted to each other, and just say, so how important is sex to you in a relationship? What are your values around sex? What are your fantasies? I think it's okay to have those conversations without scaring them off. And I also think if you scare somebody off because you talk about sex, they just did you a favor because they're not your person. Listen, if you scare somebody off by being your authentic sexual self, you're being yourself, you're not hiding who you are and what you're into, and you scare them off before you move in together and get married and have children and walk all those things, that's a favor. You should say thank you to that person. I am so glad you left when I showed you what I authentically want in bed and what I'm attracted to and what I'm into. I wish that more people would scare their partners off by expressing their sexual needs before they get married, because then we decide that we have to hide who we are. We don't express our needs. We're prim and proper. We don't talk about our sex drive. We don't say we have a fantasy of being passionately romanced, because that is a big fantasy for a lot of women, just like Natalie. Her fantasy is, you know, a lot of intimate. I love that she said that it's mindful, passionate intimacy. She fantasizes about it. I fantasize about passion and intimacy. I love passion and kissing and someone just is adoring and I'm, you know, it's just. So I urge you all to have that conversation with your partner, with someone you're dating in a way that feels good to you. So there's also the ways that are I guess, not helpful. So for me, where a situation can go wrong, if I meet somebody and they escalate it really quickly, like maybe we meet on, you know, I know this happens a lot on the dating apps, or maybe I meet you, we haven't even met yet, or maybe we met once and there was no sexual talk, but they escalate it. They send me a dick pic. They just get super sexual and I don't feel safe enough with them. I don't know them yet. And it's assumed that I am into them and I just met them. So I guess premature sexalation is a problem for me. Now, I was out with a friend and she was married for 15 years and she's now getting divorced and she's recently dating and she's on all the apps. And she only wants sex right now. And she's made it very clear. She only wants sex. She's not looking for an emotional commitment. She was in a sexless marriage for 15 years. And so she is delighted when it gets sexual right away. She loves getting a dick pic. She's actually the only woman I've ever met who loves getting dick pics. The only one who's like, oh yeah, I mean, I'm only sleeping with him. Why not send a dick pic? And then I send him my pic. But what I'm saying is we're all different. So I think we all get to set our sexual barometer of what is violating our standards and what feels really hot. So I believe that, to go back to Natalie's question, that you know what you're into. So I think it's okay to express that and see how they handle it. You don't have to give it all at once. Yeah, Ovi?
I think that also part of her question, which is interesting to me, is that she has all this past trauma with her partner about withholding sex. So I think that she's kind of projecting that wanting and like needing sex, there's something wrong with that. So I think that she's like really afraid of telling her partner that she's interested in him because she doesn't want to get rejected.
Yeah, no, that's a good point too. She's developed a new behavioral pattern in response to sex as a result of being in a marriage where her partner was using sex as a weapon and her partner was withholding sex. So not only is she reacting to that, she's like, I am free and I want to have sex and I want to be out there. You know, we often sometimes tend to heal our past relationships and our current relationships. So whatever we weren't getting, we want that times 10. So that is part of it, that she might be like this pendulum swinging where she had no sex and now she's like, I want it all the time. But then also she could be nervous in this new relationship too, because she doesn't have examples of being in a healthy sexual relationship of somebody maybe not withholding. So she's wary that when she lets this guy know, is that what you're saying? Or when she lets this guy know that she wants sex, that he's going to be like, no, you can't have it.
I think she has like not unrealistic, but kind of like a fear that's been instilled like unnaturally. So How would you suggest that she should like break out of that?
I mean, I think that it's just by practice and monitoring that. I think that actually probably just with this partner practicing, listen, when you're going through divorce and you just start dating again, I don't think that she should just jump to the first person and commit again. But I think that it's great practice. This is also why I love dating. She could practice setting boundaries with him. She could practice saying, this is what I'm into, and then listening to his response and learning this is what a sexually healthy partner, someone who's healthy responds. Or maybe this guy does something else that's weird and that's not good either. She can keep looking for her ideal scenario in dating and being honest and vulnerable from the jump, which I think so many of us show up with our representative of what we think is our best self. And we hide that until we get to know someone better. And then we're like, here's all my craziness or here's what I want. And I think the sooner we show people who we really are, the more we can authentically commit to somebody. It's more of an authentic relationship, because if you're not bringing who you are, then they're not really committing to the real you. If you get into a relationship, they're committing to somebody who's a version of yourself. And then that creates so many problems, because you know that this person loves you and you're not fully showing them who you are. So in your mind, you're going, yeah, they think I'm really neat because I clean up every time they come over, but I'm really not a neat person. That's just one example. I'm pretending that I don't have any needs in the bedroom, and I really do, but I don't want, I'm too afraid to show my authentic self because I'm afraid of being judged and this person leaving me. But the irony is, when we hold on to that person for too long, we start to, we don't feel confident because we know we're not, and then our partner doesn't really know it. And then that becomes a problem later on. And we actually don't even respect our partner sometimes for loving us, because we think, well, you don't really know the real me. So let's just all be honest and authentic and real, huh? How about that?
That's it for today's episode. See you on Friday. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to the podcast. And share this with a friend or a partner. Believe me, if you got something out of it, they will too. We release shows on Tuesdays and Fridays, and look out for a bonus episode every now and then. Find me on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. It's all at Sex with Emily. And I've been told I give really good newsletters. So sign up at sexwithemily.com, and don't forget to check out our blogs. If you want to talk to me, ask your questions about your sex life, dating, or relationships, email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com, or call into my SiriusXM show Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific, and call me, 888-94-STARS. That's 888-947-8277. Get a free 30-day trial at sexwithemily.com/SXM. You can watch my masterclass on masterclass.com/Emily Morse. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.